like to call this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. You all please rise and join me in saluting our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call, please?
Valentine?
Here.
McDonald?
Here.
Hayden?
Here.
Boyd?
Here. Okay. As we know, we are here on a special meeting for, for Ordinance 12-2010 to put a petition for something to be put onto the ballot. At this point, I would accept a motion to approve that ordinance. I'm sorry?
Public hearing first.
To introduce that ordinance, and then we'll open the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Roll call, please.
Hagan?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
At this point, I would open up the public hearing on Ordinance 12-2010. If you'd like, please. Name and address for the record, please.
Edna Detlis, 27 Fisher Avenue. And I would like to thank somebody, I don't know who I'm going to thank though, for something that was on the radio, I think Friday. Somebody talked about tonight's meeting. I don't know who it was though, on for the RNJ.
It was not me.
Mystery?
As it stands at the moment, yes.
Could it have been Terry?
It's possible.
Oh, well. Thank you. Yeah, well,
okay.
It was very nice because he did correct Victor's thing about, you know, taxpayers having to pay money if there was criminal activity. So that was good. And he went over some things, too, about the meeting tonight. And unfortunately, nobody but me, I guess, listens to the radio. So, yeah.
That might have been you after the last meeting.
I was
wondering. No, you did something else with the buses running around, the garbage trucks running around town.
Okay.
You did that, right?
He asked me a number of questions last time. It's possible that it's a leftover from after the last meeting.
Well, it was through the last meeting, but this was on Friday.
Could have saved it.
Yeah, I mean,
Well, maybe it was you. I don't know. Whoever it was, I thank you. But okay. Other than that, I really hope that this petition goes through and gets to the ballot, and then let the people of the town decide if they want to be bothered with it or not.
And I don't see that being an issue at all.
Terry, did you... should I ask him or not?
Sure, go ahead.
Did you talk on the radio about the meeting tonight? Well, okay. Thank you.
Well, if it was me, you're welcome. And if it wasn't me, I'll say you're welcome for whoever it was. How's that? Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to speak?
Well, we've been a lot of lucky so far. I might as well say something here.
Okay.
Thank you for having this meeting. I'm sorry that you're out on another night. Hoping to avoid it. I guess at this point you already probably know that the majority of the citizens by a wide margin have expressed the desire to have this place on the ballot, the desire to have a forensic audit. The public does want it. I'll give you a little bit of experience that may help when we went out to get this petition. We did receive 419 signatures. We did that actually in several hours over a 2.5-day period with about a dozen folks. On a weekend that most of the people, I'd say about 60%, maybe 70 for some of us, were not home on vacation, out vacation down the shore, wherever. But we did proceed with 419, well beyond what we needed of the 239 or 249, whatever it was. Only to just try to make a little bit of a point that in such a short period of time, we collected that many. I can tell you from the people that gave me feedback that went around and did collect them, we had, I think, five that expressed an uncertainty or an opposed. So out of that many folks, you can do the numbers. If we took a little bit more time, we probably could collect quite a number of signatures. So the public is definitely in favor of a forensic audit. I think what we've gotten to it right now is that there's been a mistrust that really needs to be reestablished. I think people want to work together to try to get things done, but they really don't trust the advice of the professionals and what we've been told. They're not clear on how things work. We're not happy with how it's continuing to work. Some of the expressions that we've been hearing from the public was that, well, you know, we'd like to know if there was criminal behavior. Now, people have asked this a dozen times, and I want to clear this up right up front. It was never the initial intent, nor is it my intent with this petition and this ballot, to put this on the ballot for a forensic audit for criminal behavior. If criminal behavior occurs, there is no expense to the citizens, but told by your own attorney about six times, because it becomes a prosecutor's issue, and that part of it runs with him. My concern is that we are continuing to do practices currently that we've done in the past that we don't know we're doing, per se, that have gotten us so deep into this debt right now. We want to correct that. We want to identify them. We want to change them. They may be processes that most municipalities do partake in, but they don't work for us. We need to change it. We need to identify it. And I think a forensic audit will help us discover where the bleeding is so that we can correct the problem. So I know we have 3 minutes, and we don't want to keep you up again tonight, but thank you very much for that. I hope that clears it up a little bit, really. That was the intent behind it, and I still think it'll be healthy for us to get that answer, because it'll tell us all where we can work together to move forward and get us back on track.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
As you know, once criminal activity is mentioned, even as an aside, you know, that's a sensationalism that spreads around like a wildfire that is next to impossible to control.
Absolutely.
I understand, you know, your point on that. I personally don't believe we're going to find any criminal activity. You know, we will find some things probably that were done that do not follow state statute, but nobody will go to jail for.
Yeah. Well, you know, and to me, it's an irrelevant issue. To solve the problem now is more of a pressing issue. I think we do partake in practices that are common, that are problems that got us into this situation. I think we're dictated from the state that we need to conduct businesses in certain manners that get us into trouble, that we don't need to do those. I think we need to identify all of that. I think a full forensic audit. You're going and getting a health report. Hey, check me out. Let me know what's wrong. Let me know where the leaks are. Let me know where the problems are. And then let's look at it all together and see how we can correct these problems so we don't get deeper into this. And the other issue, I want to say it real clearly. You know, it came up, and it was, again, I'm glad to say that I'm glad somebody corrected the misquote about the criminal. But also, the citizens, when you are trying to reducing taxes, cutting everything is really not the answer. The citizens don't want to give up all these services. They really don't. They want to solve the problems in a different way. We're deep into a hole. We've got to correct that. It's going to take some time to come back from that. Let's identify the problem. Cutting everything is not going to solve it. I don't believe the majority of citizens are opposed to spending 2 cents to find out why we had to spend 28 cents. 2 cents one time as opposed to 28 cents for how long until we get out of this debt. I don't think there's a problem with that. And I don't think any citizen I spoke to had a problem with that. We got asked, well, what would it cost? I said, on an average, based what we're told by the council, if it's $100,000, it would have probably raised us about 2 cents to cover that. I said, we'd rather get our 2 cents in.
Just for the record, from the bids that we received,
yeah.
And I don't remember exactly what the numbers were, I believe the low bid was about $42,000, roughly.
Yeah,
I believe the high bid was about $500,000, $500,000.
Right.
So I just want to put that out there, that those were the bids that we received.
Right.
At that point, from a best to a worst scenario.
I think you're correct. It was a 35 or 42, but I think you're correct. And then it was a 65, then a 100. And I think the last, where we left off last and where we got off track was basically when we asked the council to consider the three lowest bids, just to have them come in and speak to you, to identify what they were going to do for that, and you voted it down. So you voted it on the budget for 100 grand. You voted it to go out to bid and got 9 bids, and then you voted not to listen to any. That's where I think we lost our continuity. So we want to regain that. We really, really want to regain that and try to make it work. So, but yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else?
Hi, Evelyn Morrison, 20 Madison. First of all, I'd like to say to you guys, well done, because I know that this process, in terms of the petition and the signatures and the statutes and the processes, was not a familiar one. And I'd like to say, you know, salutes to the community, because they did their job, and they did their job well. And it was so good to see the camaraderie build as this process was taking place. That's the beauty of the Faulkner Act, as I had said before, which gives the power to the people. When it comes to the forensic audit, I don't think anybody would disagree that a simple financial accounting and reporting process needs to be shored up. Last week in council, I heard that the 10% of the audit was in good shape. Okay, Dave, Pat, whoever else, I think Victor. And that's a good thing, if they saw the 10% and they felt comfortable with it. But in things like that, when you do an audit, it's due, what did you say, Dave, June 29th. So being a month and a half late, that in itself has to be corrected. Now, with that 10%, I'm sure there were things that could have been even improved. I know you said Rich is doing a good job, and I agree, it's not easy. It's not easy
Mr.
at all.
If I may kind of keep your comments to the forensic audit as opposed to any other kind of audit, if you will, please.
So that is why I think once there's a forensic audit in place and the process and patterns have been established concretely, then there will be an opportunity to look at the numbers from the beginning of the year with the annual financial report, and then look at the audit at the middle of the year to see how well we're balancing those numbers. Those are the most important things when you have the audit. The forensic audit will give us a total picture, and I believe that's the tool that's necessary to put all the ducks in a row for Washington Borough. I also see that as a possibility to bring down a better understanding of bringing down that debt service by knowing what exactly dollars and cents that are here being used, and also as the expense and the revenue. I just think that this has been a good experience, and I think the people of Washington Borough, all of you, the representatives as well as the people, should put a feather in their hat, like a Yankee Doodle feather, you know, because this was a wonderful exercise in the democratic process. So I just wanted to say I was glad to be a part of it. Thank you.
Anyone else who would like to speak?
Penny Shaw, 22 School Street. I prepared a statement.
Okay.
Much easier to be done versus taking it off the top of my head. Good evening, one and all. We are here this evening to discuss Champion Gesundheit, and in the case of some, question the viability and necessity of the critical functions of a comprehensive audit known as forensic audit. Forensics is a scientific independent approach used by accountants to review the accounting practices in place, specifically in place. By using such a tool, it is the hope of myself and many others that we, as a town and as a financial institution, are on a path towards solvency. As has been stated many a meeting, that the only way to move forward is to learn from the past, both good, the questionable, and the bad. That is why we are here this evening. To use this platform of a forensic audit in order to establish a benchmark as to the methodologies to be used from this point forward. And that's the key, to learn where we are from here and go on. There is no need to fear such an open analysis of the books. It merely tells us what has been done right and what we will continue and what we will need to, what yet needs tweaking. Any accountant will tell you that when one set of financial books ends, such as at the end of the fiscal year, The end-of-the-year balance must be used as the beginning of the year balance of the new year's books. It is to be questioned when terms such as live document, which I have heard, or those numbers are unavailable at the moment, are espoused, or even worse, sashayed off to the side by the commonly used terms, I don't have those numbers at this time or at this moment. The numbers are facts and laws. They are not swayed by emotion, politics, and questionable practices. They are facts. The tale of this town these years is in the understanding and acceptance of the numbers. They are what they are and cannot be forgotten, or they will come back and they will hurt us all. That's basically it. The facts are the facts. We can say it should have been gone to accountant 805 instead of 806. It's just, you know, we need to know. That way we can move on and say we did this, it went to the wrong place, we'll fix it going forward. I'm an accountant. I know all the different counting lines, and I know sometimes they get typoed, and I know they get mistakes, and especially if it's handwritten. It's not saying that there is any kind of malfeasance or direct intervention by someone for some illicit purpose. It is mainly an analysis of where things are and what need to be done. I do audits monthly. I do audits semi-annually, and I do audits annually. I know how an audit works. All we need to do is know where we are, where we were, and where we want to be going forward. And that's the critical factor, is to know where we're going to go. If you have no interest in figuring out where we're going to go in the future, we leave it as it is, and we hope and pray and cross fingers and anything else you can think of that doesn't get worse. But we don't want to do that. We want to make everybody's lives for the better down the road. If we have to spend 2 cents now and it solves the problems down the road, given inflation, where it's predicted to be, it's cheaper to spend the 2 cents now than the 20 cents later. That's all I have to say, and have a good day.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this ordinance? Yes, sir.
Jack Fox, West North Street. I'd like to make a point that right now it seems like council is taking a beating for things that went down. But I think that the people of the town for years have been rather apathetic, not getting involved. And I've seen that just in the short period of time that I've been coming to these meetings. Start off with 100 and so, and by the third or fourth week you're down to 20 people. So when you have people leading you and they think you don't care what they do, this is the end result. So I think some pressure should be put on the people to come out and participate and let what they feel now. Because you can gripe all you want down to diner over coffee. Doesn't do a bit of good until you're here. Okay.
Thanks. Anyone else? Hearing none, I would accept a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Then I would accept a motion to approve ordinance.
Scott, I just have something I want to say.
Okay.
I'm in favor of passing this. Basically, it's a moot point because it would go to the county clerk anyway. I believe the Concerned Citizens Group did a very good job in getting this petition signed. The only thing I am concerned about is that the ballot question does not have an up to dollar amount within the statement, and where that, much like a bond ordinance.
Right.
And it's not required by law.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no up to dollar amount within the statement and where the funds are going to come from. Also, describing specifically what kind of forensic audit is being requested would also have been beneficial. because as the attorney said, there are many types of forensic audits, and you can do anything. Future counsel could limit the audit to $5,000. I mean, it's a crazy amount, but, I mean, they really could. However, by only, and they could do by that by searching only specific areas. Or they could have an exorbitant amount with a no-holds-barred audit that could exceed $500,000. Now, I believe because we had a bid of $500,000, we have to budget next year for the highest amount that we've received bids from in the previous year. So that could very seriously hurt our budget for next year. So the problem I see is the voters have no idea how much they are authorizing, and it could be detrimental to the passage of the question or damaging to the intent of the signers and quite possibly to next year's budget. So, and it, this might seem inflammatory, but the Concerned Citizens Group is saying about fiscal responsibility. I would like, really, I'm really surprised that that wasn't included in the petition because of that. I really believe that that should have been part of that petition's part of that statement. And that's all.
Okay. Thank you, Terry. And I would accept the motion to approve Ordinance 12-2010.
So moved.
Second.
Is there any other discussion on this?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yes, Mayor. We had already budgeted $100,000 previously to come into this vote, and we knocked it down to three particular companies, I believe, to bring in for interview. Now, that process will have to start all over again, or will we still go forward with what we had already voted on? So we start all over again. Okay. So if that's the case on that, the process will still be the same. We're able to look at, if we pick three, take the three that we think is the most financially feasible, bring them in for an interview, see what they're actually going, the scope of services is going to be, and go from there. Now, the time frame after the vote, when does that get implemented into the budget? As soon as the vote is done. So that would be before January 1, not?
No, it has to be next year's budget.
For 2011?
Yeah.
Okay, I stand corrected.
Because in the petition, they're asking for 2011 is the first year that they're going to audit.
And there's no way we could go out to bid.
That's the way the petition states.
There's no way we could go out to bid and get them back in time
right.
Before the end of the year.
Okay.
And then it would be difficult, particularly for Mr. Cioni and Mr. Housel and possibly Mrs. Gleba and Mr. Higgins, to vote on it. Because they can't vote for something that takes effect after their term.
Okay, so then time frame would be after January.
Yes.
That this would be taking place.
Yeah, now
okay.
We could put a request for proposals out before that.
Right.
Correct.
You know, but we can't take action on it until the reorg meeting at the very earliest.
Okay.
You can't put an RFP out because you don't have the money to pay for it. You have to have the money in the budget.
An RFP is different than a proposal. We didn't put the money in. There were no certified funds when we went out for those RFPs because we didn't put anything in the budget until after we went out for them.
You have to have money.
You only have to certify that you have the funds once you award the contract. We don't do it with the professionals. We don't do it with them when we go out for them in September.
That's a professional contract for the year, though.
Well, that's a machination, too, that we can deal with, you know, when the time comes.
But you don't have to certify the funds until it's actually awarded, that you have the funds to pay for the contract. You remember when we went out for, you know, the sewer plant? You know, we didn't certify funds until the ordinance or the resolution was passed on who it was that got it. Same thing, you know, with the attorney. The funds were certified for $50,000 that we had it on hand to pay him. Now it all starts all over again. We don't have to put in the budget $500,000 next year either, because that was the high bid. The process starts all over again.
Right. And Ms. Blanchard, this does not bind us to doing it, correct? Or am I not correct?
That has not been determined.
Okay. So one of the things I was going to suggest is, if we put $100,000 in and we can only get 3 years done, you know, maybe we could do the 3 years in 2011 and the other 2 years in 2012, if it came down to that.
According to the petition, it's 5 years.
Yeah.
And you have to do 5 years.
Well, apparently there's still some determination as to the binding portion of it. But, you know, these are all things that...
Well, this one on the ballot has a ballot question that's non-binding.
Yeah,
it's non-binding.
We're borrowing trouble here before we have it. Okay. Any other discussion? Hearing none, may I have a roll call, please?
Higgins?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Calvo?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes. Okay. And we have a resolution on our desk tonight to declare this an emergency ordinance.
Move Resolution 160, 2010.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on this? Hearing none, may I have a roll call on this one, too, please?
Calvo?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
Higgins?
Yes. If we have no other business, I would accept the motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.